My name is Ryan, and I'll be reading today's scripture from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. Here's what it says. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a royal priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture, it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy."
Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. If we haven't met, my name's Kirsten, and I'm one of the pastors here at Living Waters. And it is so good to be with you today, the day where we all try to wrap our heads around the fact that it is now 2023. How are you feeling about the new year? We can be in all sorts of places as we enter into the new year, depending on what the year was like that we just finished, what we see ahead of us in the days to come, and based off who we are. For all of us, though, I think the new year serves as a kind of marker. For me, this new year officially marks 2 years of being a pastor for our church, which I can't quite believe because it's gone really fast. I was thinking the other day, I guess it's time for me to stop thinking of myself as new. I've been a part of our community for a long time, but I started pastoring here in January of 2021. This talk here today is really a chance for me to share my heart with our community. And I want to share with you today why I love the church, a feeling that has only increased over the past 2 years. I love our Living Waters community in particular, of course. Those of you I have the privilege to know, the gift of hearing your stories, the joy of serving alongside you. I'm honored to sit with you in your pain, and I'm honored to worship Jesus with you. I love our community. But what I love most about our community is the way that it embodies what the church is meant to be. And I am deeply committed to, invested in, and in love with this messy but beautiful, broken but holy, weak but powerful thing that was in the beginning Jesus' idea, called the church. Now, it's actually not cool these days to love the church. I know that the church has an image problem, and if you don't know it, you can Google it. Literally, you can Google the phrase, "the church has an image problem," and you'll get good, insightful articles that talk about why the cultural picture of the church is negative. You'll even get references to solid research exploring this cultural perspective. And you'll find some pretty good, healthy critique that we should probably be humble enough to listen to. But that doesn't stop me from loving the church. When I moved from the U.S. to Canada in 2003 to go to grad school, I found myself surrounded by international and Canadian students who were pretty disgusted and frustrated with my home country. And hey, sometimes they made some pretty good arguments. I found myself living in a kind of constant state of apology for where I had come from. In our current cultural climate, it's easy for us to end up feeling like this about the church, acknowledging over and over again the messed up things that people in churches have done and still are doing right now, And I know in some situations, this is probably the appropriate response. We are to be a humble people, quick to acknowledge our wrong and to say that we're sorry. But I think it's also important to remember who we as a church were meant to be. Otherwise, we lose our sense of purpose and direction, our sense of joy and hope at what Jesus is trying to do, both in us and through us as a people. New Year's Day is a time to remind ourselves of what matters in our lives and of who we want to be. So let's talk about that today as a community, to explore together why the church is not meant to be something we're apologetic about, but something we believe and are participate in, something we love. The word in the biblical text that we translate as church is not a particularly special word. It's a very garden variety Greek word that refers to a group of people gathered together. I think it's important for us to recognize that Jesus intended for his followers to do just that, to gather together. We can't remind ourselves enough that the Christian life was intended to be lived out as a community. You can recognize this in Jesus' ministry. After all, he gathered a group of wildly different people to follow him, and then he called them to follow him together as a group. We hear this emphasis over and over again in the letters and biographies of Jesus' followers, wrote after his death and resurrection. You can hear it in the text that Ryan read for us a few minutes ago. 1 Peter 2:9 to 10 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Anyone who gives their lives to Jesus, whether they know it or not, have become a part of the people of God. Becoming a Christian is a bit like becoming a citizen of a completely different country. This country has completely different perspectives on how to live. And some of them are kind of crazy when you first look at them. The first are last, and the last are first. You have to die to yourself before you can truly live. If someone steals from you, you're to be generous with them. We're to pray for our enemies. Our treasure is no longer on earth, but in heaven. The poor are blessed. The greatest is the one who serves. And the list goes on and on. And people have a higher value in this community, because each person is someone that Jesus loved enough to die for. Because of this, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Instead, we treat everyone as if they have value and worth, regardless of their race or social status, their sex or their age, their wealth or their beauty, their intelligence or lack thereof, their weakness or their strength. Becoming a Christian is like becoming a citizen of a completely different country. But here's the catch. We're continuing to live like we're in a new country while living in the middle of our old country. Right around us are people living just like we used to, in ways that are often easier. If someone takes from you, it's much easier to sue them than it is to be generous with them. It's easier to hate your enemies than to pray for them. It's easier to hoard our wealth here on earth than to give our money away and therefore store up treasure in heaven. I can see the balance after all on my bank account, and it makes me feel safe. When we become Christians, the only hope we have of acting like the chosen people, the royal priesthood, and the holy nation we are is if we do it together. And that's what we do as a church. I like to think of the church as a place where we get to practice being God's people. Our workplaces, our cities, and our neighborhoods may function the way the world does, but in our life together as God's people, whether it's on Sundays or in a life group or in our friendships with other believers or in our homes, we get the chance to live a different way. We get the chance to practice putting others before ourselves. We get the chance to practice laying down power rather than wielding it like a weapon. We get the chance to practice treating each person with the respect that is fitting for a person that Jesus loves. And we get the chance to practice being led by the Holy Spirit, hearing when He may want us to encourage someone else or pray for them or help them. When I first came to university, I almost immediately got involved in a Christian ministry of about 200 people. When I joined this group, I found that it was very different from anything that I had seen in a public high school. In this Christian group, the mature students were loving and kind to everyone and even seemed to enjoy them. There was one kid in particular who is also in this ministry, and I had gone through school with him, and I thought he was such a strange person. But in this group, he was loved and included and enjoyed. As I began living in the different culture of this group, something in my insecure 18-year-old self began to melt. I began to see that if all of these other people were truly being loved in this community, then perhaps I could be too. I had come to a peculiar country, a better country, where it was safe enough to be known and loved. And in that place, I began to be transformed by the Spirit of God. This happens in our community as well. At the end of November, our women had a powerful day talking about forgiveness and giving each other the space to practice it. Two mature women from our community shared their stories, and their stories freed up others to share their own stories and receive prayer in their places of pain. The Holy Spirit ministered to people's hearts. I know of a life group that spent many hours helping a senior in their group move because they loved her. They valued her. And it was important for them that she be loved and cared for in tangible ways in a difficult time. The church is a place where we learn to love people like Jesus. We fumble at it a lot, and we often get it wrong. But as we practice together, we get glimpses of what it feels like to live as the people of God. We get a taste of the redeemed life, and that's where things get really exciting. Jesus didn't just come to save us from something. He came to restore our humanity and our way of relating to one another, to what it was meant to be. And that's what happens through the church. We come as learners, and the Holy Spirit teaches us together what it means to love, to forgive, to hope, to trust, to grieve, to worship, to enjoy one another, to experience joy. A few weeks ago, our life group had a moment, a simple moment, of singing carols by candlelight. It was a sacred time, not just because of the music and the setting, but because these are people I've prayed and laughed with for years. They've listened to me and loved me through my needs. They've dropped off soup at my doorstep when I've been sick. They're people whom I practice being fully human with, and I love them. When we practice being God's people, the Holy Spirit builds us to be something bigger than ourselves. Peter describes it in this way. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The image here is that as we come to Jesus, whom Peter describes as the living stone, we, living stones like him, are built into essentially a temple. The Jewish temple was the place where the presence of God, the glory of God, dwelled. Peter is telling us that we are that temple. The glory of God is revealed in and through us as a people. When I was 21, I went through a year where I really struggled with doubt, and every time I prayed, I had to work to convince myself that God was real. One of my anchors in that season was worshiping and being with God's people, because when I did that, when I looked around at them, when we were gathered together, I knew that what I said I believed about Jesus was true. This time of doubt finally ended when I was baptized, declaring my faith to my community. Alone, I felt lost, but I experienced God's presence among his people. What is built when we seek to be a community of God's people is not just the work of our hands. The Holy Spirit is actually the primary builder, building a community that reveals his presence and his glory. I experience so often that what happens in our community life is greater than the sum of its parts. I experience it on a Sunday morning when we experience God's presence together in worship. I experience it on Tuesday mornings when a faithful group meets to pray for our community. I experience it in life groups. I co-lead an arts and faith life group, and I regularly find that the Spirit inhabits our time together in ways that surprise and delight me. We are present together in so many ways in our community, and the Spirit inhabits our time together, encouraging us further up and farther in to the goodness of the life he has for us. As we seek to be the church, the Holy Spirit inhabits and blesses our life together, and we experience his presence. We see Jesus together, and we are changed. Life in a church community can be very mundane at times, and sometimes it can be downright disappointing, because it's a life with people who are broken and messy, just like us. Sometimes it's painful. People can be deeply hurt in churches. And I think the hurts people experience in church are particularly painful because a church is meant to be a family, a place that really matters, a place where we expect to be loved, a place where we receive God's love. It's a particular kind of grief to be hurt in this kind of place. But even though we as a church often make mistakes, even though we feel more like we're following Jesus with a stagger than a run, even though we have to say we're sorry a lot, and even though we don't even see all the ways we mess up, if we are a community that keeps trying to put Jesus at the center, keeps trying to follow him, keeps yielding to the Spirit, and keeps trying to love people like Jesus, somehow, miraculously, the Spirit inhabits our life together and reveals Christ's glory. And that glory spreads out from us into the world. When you look at the stories of the early church, one of the things you notice is how it is constantly spreading out, growing, transforming the culture and the world surrounding it. The story of Acts is the story of the church beginning with 3,000 people in one city on the day of Pentecost, and of it expanding all throughout Asia Minor and eventually even to Rome. The story of the church is the story of Christ followers gradually changing our culture's understanding of the value of each human being by elevating the role of women, by finding and adopting babies who had been discarded, as was often done in the first century, by gradually shifting from seeing a slave as property to seeing him as a brother in Christ. The story of the church is the story of the goodness of God, spreading out of the life of the church into the world around it. Jesus came to save the world, and he also came to transform it. The church is meant to be one of the primary agents of that transformation. That's why Jesus called us salt of the earth and the light of the world in the book of Matthew. We're meant to preserve and give flavor. We're meant to push away the darkness and help the world to see. What I think is beautiful, and I see this all the time with our community, is that when we follow Jesus together, this naturally happens as a part of who we are. I think of the ways a group of women in our community have loved inmates at our local women's prison, providing chapels and Christmas gifts, giving them the chance to walk through the Alpha course and learn more about Jesus. It's the heart of Jesus that led women in our community to serve in that place. I was speaking recently to the chaplain at the prison who works with them, and she talked about how our community's service there has changed women's lives. Notice, though, that it was following Jesus together that gave the women in our community the courage to step out and serve in a place that they never had before. I think about a group of people prayed for the Willoughby community each week for a lot of 2021, and how out of that idea, out of that prayer, the idea began to begin an English conversation club. Kyle's been leading this ministry, and it has given us the chance to serve so many newcomers here in Willoughby. This past month, we served a Christmas dinner to around 60 people who had participated in the conversation club. When I think of these ministries, along with the many Helping Hands initiatives and all the stories of people freely and generously loving those around us, I think of the phrase from 2 Corinthians that says, "Because Christ's love compels us." Christ's love for the people around us grows in our hearts. And when we're in community, when we're together, we encourage one another to act on that love in a way that we might not do if we were alone. This is the church revealing the glory of God to the world. As we end today, I just want to encourage you. Our church matters. It has purpose and meaning because Jesus loves it and works in and through it. It's a good place to practice being one of God's people. And there are lots of us to practice with. Let's practice being the people of God together in 2023. Let's let the Lord continue to build us to be a spiritual house where His Holy Spirit dwells and where His glory is revealed. I am so grateful that I get to live this life of faith with you. It is a privilege and a joy. Happy New Year.